252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. The U.S. expected to hit the debt ceiling later today, a $31 trillion cap that, if breached, could mean the government can't pay its bills. The Treasury Department says temporary suspensions of federal pension payments could be enacted until Congress takes action.
This is really a way for them to buy some time for lawmakers to try to come to an agreement. But it's important to also say that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says these are extraordinary measures. And the closer we get to that June date, the bigger the consequences might be.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. Congress is divided over raising the limit or suspending it to avoid default. Prosecutors in New Mexico are expected to announce charges today in the Rust movie set shooting that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins and raised questions over how and why actor Alec Baldwin pulled the trigger. Workers across France, upset over a proposal to up the retirement age from 62 to 64, have walked out and are on strike today. This is ABC News. Investigators in Ukraine still trying to find the cause of a helicopter crash that killed at least 14 people, including three children on the ground. ABC's Matt Gutman.
The cause of the crash still unclear. Authorities say all nine aboard the helicopter headed to a, quote, war hotspot were killed. The entire leadership of Ukraine's Interior Department among the dead, including the minister himself, Denis Monastirsky, an advisor to Zelensky before the war. Addressing the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, President Zelensky calling those aboard the helicopter patriots, asking for a minute of silence.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, announcing she will resign in the next few weeks, saying it's time for another leader to step up. The recent storms that have been walloping California with rain and snow have now entirely eliminated the extreme drought conditions in the state. That from the latest readings from the U.S. Drought Monitor. But officials warn it could take several seasons like this to get rid of the drought in the state. Jay O'Brien, ABC News.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Getting around is tricky today thanks to a winter storm dropping wet, heavy snow on Wisconsin. There could be anywhere from 4 to up to 9 inches on the ground once it's all over. Many schools in central and northern Wisconsin in particular are closed or switching to virtual learning. Road crews are asking people not to drive today if they don't have to. Hy-Vee is recalling pot roast dinners. The labels don't have all the ingredients on them, so they're worried there may be something in them that could hurt people with allergies. The meals were all made between December 26th and Tuesday. There's more detailed information on Hy-Vee's website. If you have one of the recalled meals, you can take it back. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
And for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
You can text us at that same number. I want to welcome again 97.9 FM WGBD Green Bay and 98.3 FM WISS Oshkosh. And my guest is a good friend from many years ago, none other than Attorney Jim Santille, who is a former U.S. attorney appointed by then President Barack Obama. It's good to have you be in the room with you again over the airwaves.
Earl, it is great to be with you again, my friend. Delighted to spend some time in conversation with you about many important issues.
You are now my colleague at what is
this? This Civic Media, I think, is what we're called, right? Yes. Right, exactly.
Yeah,
right,
Civic Media. Right. And so I'm excited, man. That we're back together again.
I'm delighted to be with you, as always.
And so, I'm the kind of person that, you know, wouldn't want to live anywhere else. America is the greatest nation on earth. There's no question.
It is.
About
it
those
is.
Things.
Absolutely.
But to think that we don't have some issues
we
need to work through,
right,
is you know, a misconception.
Right. And if I can jump in my soapbox right away,
absolutely,
it is a good thing, you and I agree in this, as do your listeners, it is a good thing that we live in a nation where we can sit around and talk
about
the good things, but also talk about the things that our government needs to do that are not doing, and to criticize people who are not doing their jobs.
No,
right?
No question.
That's America.
It's one of the reasons why I always say, even in the face of our shortcomings, I couldn't do this. Or we couldn't do this mm-hmm. almost anywhere else.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, people say all times that I don't love America. Man, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
And it's just right? The opposite, once again. It's because you do love America that you say, I want it to be the very, not only the best nation on the face of the planet. Is there such a thing as a perfect nation? Probably not. But I want it to aspire to that point where all people of all immutable characteristics, race, national origin, religion, faith, orientation, all those kind of familial status, economic status, have access to things across the board, fairly and equitably.
So to give people an idea, because people who listen are average everyday Joes like me, you were the former U.S. attorney
yes.
appointed by then-President Barack Obama. What are the duties of a U.S. attorney?
Sure. I will say at the outset, and you and I have talked about this before, Earl, I am very proud of the fact that the president who appointed me is named Barack Obama, as you just indicated. And as you know, the process is that while the senators are involved at that time, two different senators here in the state of Wisconsin, they're involved in the process. But ultimately what happens is the president nominates, the Senate confirms U.S. attorneys, just like judges and other appointed officials. And so I have the great opportunity, after about 25 years of service as an assistant United States attorney, a civil servant, a non-political, to be selected by our senators and by the president to serve as the chief law enforcement officer for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, basically the eastern 28 counties. If you just slice the state sort of in thirds, the eastern section of that, where most of the population is. All the population is important, but the great majority of the population obviously is still sort of crowded into the eastern side. And the responsibility, again, also very proud to have worked for a fellow named Eric Holder. He was my boss for about 5 years or so.
It's hard to even wrap your mind around how many other attorneys would be under you. And in a situation like that.
Right, exactly. And so there is a staff, again, I was one of them. I served under seven different attorneys general and many, many other U.S. attorneys, apolitically, without partisan politics. And we'll chat about that, I'm sure. But the notion is that, you know, a U.S. attorney does not do everything herself or himself.
Right.
He isn't, he or she is in many ways the voice piece for the Department of Justice.
You're responsible for that, right.
Ultimately responsible. And responsible for all the civil litigation, all the criminal prosecution that is done. If there is something that goes right, something goes wrong, ultimately it's that U.S. attorney that is responsible to whom? Yes, indeed, to the Attorney General of the United States of America, but also to the people who ultimately got that Attorney General there, and that's the people of the state of Wisconsin, people of the United States of America. So in very real way, responsive to the needs of the community when it comes to ensuring law enforcement, that crimes are addressed, that civil needs are addressed, all kinds of things under the federal umbrella that are responsible, that the U.S. attorneys are responsible for ensuring are done. There are 93 different districts in the entire country, 93 U.S. attorneys out there. And so all of them given responsibility through the attorney general, ultimately from the president, to enforce the law.
So average American voters like those in the listening audience and including myself, I was reading this article this morning about Amazon.
Yes.
And Amazon and OSHA. Finding Amazon for so many people being injured with their high speed and dangerous system that they have set up that moves all of these.
Gets your packages there, right?
It's amazing that how quickly they can get this done. But none of us see how they make the sausage, right?
Right.
None of us see that. But there are people who make this happen. And they are being injured, horribly,
right.
And we don't get to hear that. So, so to make a long story short, Amazon was fined for these practices, and OSHA. I don't know if OSHA is the entity. They certainly can charge the people, but I don't know if they're the ones who create the fines and what the fines will be, but. Right away, when I'm reading this, I'm expecting millions and millions of dollars of fines, which would deter the company from continuing to do that. I thought that's the purpose of having fines. And yet, they charged them $68,000. I'm talking about Amazon.
Right. A multi-billion dollar industry, right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Can you help explain?
A little bit of insight, although I scratch my head too along with you, my friend Earl, when I think about this particular instance.
No, it doesn't have to be that particular instance, but just the whole concept.
And so the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the words are right there, right? It is a commission. It is an entity, again, of the federal government established by the Congress many years ago, given statutory authority to make certain that, again, as we talked already, that employees across the board in companies, one of the rights, of course, of companies is to make a profit. But in order to benefit from the United States of America, you have to also abide by the rules. And that makes certain, as you just indicated, that your employees are safe and they're secure. And if you don't do that under the statutory commission given to OSHA, OSHA can come in. Again, most often it's based upon some so-called whistleblower coming in and say, you know what, either my friends, there's a situation here. And probably that, I don't recall exactly. exactly how this happened with Amazon. Probably somebody came forward and said, there are people here who are in danger. Yes. Come in and investigate. And OSHA, again, by virtue of this authority given to it by the federal government, civil servants come in and they do the investigation. They talk to people. They look at the floor. They look at the machines. They look at all the trappings of the work there. And they make findings
about
what happened.
They look at the number of injuries.
Absolutely. Right. Who was injured? Under what circumstances? How did this happen? And then also, you know, it's not simply, and frankly, you've got it right on the head. It's all about deterrence, but it's also about identifying how do we rectify this, okay. right? And part of that is to say, you've got to pay some fines here. You've got to make certain that you know that what you have done, whatever the company is, including Amazon, what you have done has compromised the safety and security of your employees. And then also, and I have to believe that this decree, if you will, this order from OSHA also says, and oh, by the way, you've also got to do the following 10, 15 things or so. Again, I don't know what the exact number might be of things to remedy this so we don't have continuing problems like this.
But you know, Jim, you don't, again, in my opinion, begin to do that with a $60,269 fine.
Right, right.
I remember when they first created OSHA, I worked in industry for 34 years, and the industry that I worked in was the auto industry, and when I came in as a young guy of 18 years old, there were guys with fingers cut off yes. and hands cut off, and right. and it was a butcher shop. Mm-hmm. And then OSHA was created, mm-hmm. and many of the guys I worked with, by the time they got to be my age now, couldn't hear, mm-hmm. couldn't see,
right.
had been poisoned by carcinogens, right. and OSHA came into existence mm-hmm. to protect.
Right, the future employees, future yes. generations, right? Right.
Yeah. And,
right.
and so my point to you is that regulations, and so we hear people arguing about too many regulations hurt business. Do people really understand right. the purpose of right. regulations? Right. Can you explain it?
Absolutely. And I think, again, you and I are the same view on this. I am one of those people that believes that, yes, private industry and private individual responsibility for things we do are very important, but government has a big role to play. Look at all the wonderful things that government does do imperfectly, once again.
Right.
Could you imagine a nation where we did not have government involved in ensuring the safety of our water?
Right,
because we did have that, right? Until we had the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act and those kinds of things, all sorts of agencies, education, healthcare, including the employment setting. So government does all that, again, not with precision always, not timely, but nonetheless has to come in. And the question then is, what do you do to remedy the problem that you find? I don't know exactly what the I haven't looked at it with sufficient clarity yet, but the $65,000 fine may be in response to a particular incident, that sort of thing. I'm not justifying it at all, but it certainly strikes me on first blush that in order to do, and let's talk about that word you used before, which is the all-important focus here, deterrence, right? You want to specifically deter this company from ever doing whatever it is you've done before. You want to make certain that they're deterred from putting in place machinery that threatens to cut off the limbs right. and fingers of workers there. And then you also want to do general deterrence, which is, and it's a virtue of the fact that we've got access to it this morning. When you read about this and I read about this and other Amazon-like companies out there, any other company out there, regardless of what you do, says, oh boy, OSHA, admittedly, a very small slap on the wrist, but OSHA is looking at us, that's general deterrence. So maybe you've got companies, CEOs going in this morning and saying, you know what, Amazon just got in some trouble, a little bit of trouble. We need to make certain that we are complying with what we need to do. That's general deterrence out there, and that's the other reason why you do these kinds of things.
Well, you know, I see you, Jacob. I'm sorry, man. I forgot you were there. We'll come to you after the break, 844-967-2789. My good friend Jim Santille and colleague is in the studio. What's the name of your show again?
It's called Morning Cannolis, a silly name for a serious show.
Right? All right. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Men. The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. Cloudy skies this afternoon with snow showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 34. North winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 24 tonight, chance of snow showers. Tomorrow, highs around 28. About an inch of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
All right, welcome back to the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santel, former. Does it bother you if I keep using former?
It does not at all. That's where I am. Okay. I'm very proud of that fact. And also say, love the Stevie Wonder music here. Yeah. This is terrific.
Yeah,
one of my favorites.
U.S. attorney.
All right.
That was appointed by then President Barack Obama. Let's go to Jacob, man. Jacob from California, Eureka, California. Thank you very much for the call, man. Sorry, I got so caught up with having a dialogue with my friend Jim from way back. But go ahead.
So, any politician who would say that we should get rid of regulations and get rid of OSHA is a politician who should never get your vote. That's a corrupt politician on the payroll of corporate violators, okay? You know, about 5,000 people die every year in America due to industrial accidents. They die on the job because of the job. But, of course, that used to be much worse, much higher than 5,000 a year prior to the regulations, prior to OSHA. You know, and the whole point is, it's our government. Their job is to protect us, not to protect a bunch of greedy corporate entities who are just paying off right-wing Republican politicians. And Earl, I just wanted to say something to you about a subject you brought up last hour. You brought up the subject of that neo-Nazi North Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, you know, who was... You know, taking she didn't have any committee assignments in the House.
She's under Department of Homeland Security, man.
Yes. I know. What she's going to do, she's going to finally give us the location of the Death Star of David. We're going to finally find out what a Jewish space laser is. Come on. This is ridiculous.
But it's real, man. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for waiting, Jacob. Thank you, as always, man. Always good comments. Let's bring on, and then we'll give... Jim, a chance to respond to you. But let's bring on Chris. Is that from Harvard?
Harvard, Illinois.
Harvard, Illinois. Hey, Chris, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
This is a little offshoot here. My husband works at a company that started in 1920. And my dad started there. And a lot of it, it's not necessarily government or OSHA. The rules are there. And they have meetings where OSHA comes in and tells people what to do, what to wear. And there are so many people who will not follow the rules, whether it be a helmet, whether it be goggles. Example, goggles are supposed to be worn for, you know, if you're it's industrial, like electrical engineering type of, you know. And a lot of the people, you know, you don't need babysitters. You guys are men and women, so you go to work. And you know what you're supposed to do. If you don't want to protect yourself, and then you're going to sue the company, that's why so many companies are closing down and having issues, is because then when people lose a tip of their finger, they sue. They know what they're supposed to do. I mean, it's so remedial. You know what you're supposed to do, and you like your job, you like your paycheck, and insurance, and bonuses.
So Chris, it's safe to say that you don't think the regulations impede the company and bring a lot of
this. No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I think that people don't, when the people from OSHA and the people come in and instruct people, let's say a new machine comes in, you know, people are more concerned about what's on their phone or eating lunch, or, you know, they have to rally people to, you know, so the company is trying to protect their employees, and half the employees don't have any concern about protecting themselves.
Well, so,
and then when something happens.
So you're talking to a guy who spent 34 years in industry, who was exposed to all sorts of carcinogens. Poison.
Absolutely.
Poison. The water was no good. We found all these things out later on, and many of us, my coworkers died early deaths. And so the company was aware of those things. But yet those companies got slaps on the wrist. Because, I'm sorry.
No, babe. Go ahead.
And so I'm saying, companies, nobody's saying we want companies to go out of business. They have their role. But a company is not more important than the life of an individual, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I think there's nothing more valuable than a human life. But that's not the case in this society.
And Earl, if I can add, I think the bridge between what Chris is saying and what you've said, both incredibly important things, is about personal responsibility. Chris, I think that's your point, right? Personal responsibility.
Correct.
It's also about, I'm hearing Chris, you talk about, and Earl, supervision, right? So the person who's in charge of the office, wherever that is, whatever the entity is, that person on the floor has got to say, Jim, Earl, wear your goggles, right?
Yeah.
And the point.
Where are you?
Right. And the point, sure. And so and the point of OSHA then is to come in and say, if the company is not imposing upon that direct supervisor the obligation to say, Earl and Jim, knock it off, abide by the rules, then the company is going to get in trouble. They're going to get fines. They're going to get right. And that's how the system works. It's a combination of personal responsibility. That's what you're talking about, Chris, but also what, you know, Earl and you are also talking about, which is ensuring the company has the supervisors in place that can say, these are they're posted, they're enforced. You're walking the grounds and making sure that people comply.
Absolutely. And, you know, like steel-toed boots, they have an allowance. They give their employees money because some can't afford it, you know, steel-toed boots. And then some guys come back and go, I don't like them. I'm not going to wear them. I don't want them.
Well,
you know,
Chris,
what happens when they cut their toes up?
Chris, all I want to say to you, Chris, is for 34 years, 18 years old or 52 years old, I worked in industry, and I didn't see anybody not wear steel-toe boots, or I didn't see anybody not wear safety glasses. Oh, okay, so I'm a throwback.
It's sad, honey.
Okay.
It's sad.
Hey, Chris, we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for listening.
You guys
thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. The U.S. expected to hit the debt ceiling later today, a $31 trillion cap that, if breached, could mean the government can't pay its bills. The Treasury Department says temporary suspensions of federal pension payments could be enacted until Congress takes action.
This is really a way for them to buy some time for lawmakers to try to come to an agreement. But it's important to also say that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says these are extraordinary measures. And the closer we get to that June date, the bigger the consequences might be.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. Congress is divided over raising the limit or suspending it to avoid default. Prosecutors in New Mexico are expected to announce charges today in the Rust movie set shooting that killed cinematographer Halyna Hutchins and raised questions over how and why actor Alec Baldwin pulled the trigger. Workers across France, upset over a proposal to up the retirement age from 62 to 64, have walked out and are on strike today. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Van Meer with your headlines. Don't expect the price of your morning omelet to come down anytime soon. Egg prices have gone through the roof, with historic highs of $8 to $9 a dozen for specialty eggs. Much of the reason the avian flu that decimated flocks across the country, especially in the Midwest, exposure to that avian flu resulted in the deaths of 3.3 million chickens in Wisconsin. One-tenth of the chicken population in the country has been destroyed in the past year. Egg producers are trying to repopulate their flocks, but say it will take time. The owners of Northwoods Timber must pay more than $1 million in back wages and civil penalties for lying to workers from Mexico and Central America about where they'd work and how much they'd get paid. The Madison U.S. Attorney's Office says Alfredo and Patricia Aguilar pleaded guilty to one count of fraud. You're listening to Civic Media across the Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick, and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, my guest is my good friend Jim Santillo. He is a former U.S. attorney appointed by then-President Barack Obama. He's in his own practice now. But we're talking about a whole array of things. And Jim, you hear people saying, government. We don't need government. Good government is what we need, right? Nobody can say, you and I were talking about off the air, what makes this nation different is the government of our country, right?
Absolutely.
And the depth of it and what it can offer. Right. But it has to be righteous in what it does. You were saying what?
Sure. So again, you've got all of those rules and regulations. So we've got a constitution, right? We've got statutes that are passed by the Congress, the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s. Again, still not completely flourishing in terms of their anticipated result, but things that change America, employment, healthcare, education, all that comes from governments saying, you know what, we need to do better. Even the OSHA matter we're talking about right this morning, that comes out of a sense of government is responsible to whom? To its people, right? Not to something beyond, not to them itself, but to its people. And so when I hear, as Jacob said early on, you know, that no one should be elected if you say that government is the problem, I couldn't agree more. That government is not perfect, once again, but it's also a result of human beings, right? We can have all the statutes and all the regulations in the world. If you don't elect the right people, if you don't appoint the right people, whether it's a U.S. attorney or a congresswoman or a senator or a president or ultimately a Supreme Court justice, look what happens. And so government is a reflection of both regulations and the written word, legal things often, but it's also every single generation, it's a reflection of the people we send to government. And there's a real sense, Earl, you know, you speak about this all the time, I know, that if you're not happy with government, you're the one to blame because you haven't voted for the people who properly represent you, and you're the one who's responsible to ensure that those people in Washington, in Madison, other places around the country, take on your rights and responsibilities and advance them in a way that is in your best interests.
You know, the older I get, Jim, the more I realize just how complex our government is and the system, and that every aspect of our lives, government plays a role in it. And so we can clearly talk as if, you know, we can do all these things without government. Anytime you get on an airplane and get to wherever it is you're going,
right,
and you're up in the air, and you have no control over what's going on there. And yes, a big sky, but there are a lot of things up there with you.
Absolutely.
And yet you get back down to where you are, and over again, that's government.
And absent the FAA, right, the Federal Aviation Administration, in the wake of something that happened in North Carolina in the early part of the 20th century, when a couple of guys named Wright first figured out how to get in the air, all that put in place to ensure that really the only decision you've got to make is whether you want cranberry juice or Coca-Cola, right? Everything else is subject to the FAA saying you've got to be seat belted in. You can't be walking around just randomly. You got to do all those other things that, again, sometimes we've seen recently people respond to badly. We got those instances of people acting up badly on planes. What is the response to that? They will be in trouble, right? Sometimes the planes are turned around and brought back down, and they can be arrested because they're not following the laws and the rules and regulations to the benefit of all the rest
of
us, right?
Well, the fact that the planes themselves,
right,
some of them aged.
Right, right.
Some of them brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter whether it's the brand new plane or the aged plane. You rarely hear of accidents.
Right, right.
As much as we're up there,
right,
that's all government.
Right.
But the other part of it is we see military.
Mm-hmm.
That's government. See that part of government.
Absolutely.
And we're okay with that.
Right.
But
right,
all the rest of it.
Right.
We're not.
Right. And even get back to the airplane again. It's just, what does the FAA do? All sorts of rules and regulations, again, that we do not see when you go to the airports, requiring reviews of the structural integrity of this plane that's been in the air, whether it's for 5 months or 5 years, all kinds of things about fueling, how people on the ground behave. That's all to keep us safe and secure. And then, as you say, we've got other things that are very visible because we think we know about the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, and the Coast Guard, all those entities. And yet, even there, All of that is regulated. Obviously, you've got a Joint Chiefs of Staff. You've got a Pentagon, right? There are rules and regulations for not only how the military is conducting itself, how it spends its money. Again, as we all know, a huge amount of money, the greatest amount of money in our annual budget. All of that is also regulated. Again, perhaps too much money, some would say, but nonetheless, a part of the government attempt to ensure that it is that money is spent in a fiscally responsible way. And again, we've had stories when it is not, that becomes an appropriate scandal, right? If something happens, if the Pentagon is spending money on something frivolous, we respond to that badly and say, you know what, government needs to correct that, and it didn't do it right in the first place.
That's why I preface good government.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I consider bad government is the fact that we look at people being slaughtered in this country, and yet AR-15s AK-47s are legal.
At the top of the list, right? This is one where government can come in. And we know, to get on again that very appropriate angle this morning, we know that some of those regulations work. Why? Because as to automatic weapons in this country, we had a ban for 10 years. And you know what happened? The amounts of mass casualties, mass shootings, declined dramatically. It sunsetted, it went away, and the numbers went up again. In those states that have things like background checks and all the other things that are in place, emergency orders for people who might be subject to mental illnesses that may cause them, all those kinds of things, in those places that those are in effect, where government, locally, statewide, imposes them, they work. And we've got safety. And so one of the great frustrations I know that you and I, Earl, and your listeners also have is we know what's working. And there is a situation where our elected representatives in the Congress, yes, they passed something of a firearms bill last year, didn't really address the larger issues. We need to insist upon those representatives saying your responsibility is to us, ban these kinds of horrific weapons of war, keep us safer, ensure that we're doing those things nationwide that can ensure our safety and security. And if you don't do that, that's the bad government that we're talking about. And that's why people should be rising up and saying, I demand more from my government.
Let's go to the phone lines. Tom from L.A. All right, Tom, what's going on?
All right, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, Jim, I have a question, or Earl, I have a question. Back when Ronald Reagan really poisoned the water and said the government is the problem, I wasn't around back then, or I was very young, but was there any pushback from anyone that, no, government is good, the government is we the people, that government is just like what you're talking about right now, which is, I think, something that we need to be expressing every day, the difference between private and public, and talking about, you know, the good that government does. Did anyone push back with Reagan when he said that? Because to me, if I would have been a little bit more, you know, astute at that time, I would have said, look, you're talking about me when you say government can't do anything right. Because you're talking about me. I'm the government. So why people fell for his deal and the 40 years of Reaganomics that we've had to live with since then, because FDR was definitely, you know, the best president, in my opinion, ever. And I wish that we could, I just don't understand. I'm just trying to figure out, did we push back? Did anyone push back on that sentiment and say, no, government is good?
Well, so at the time, Tom, this movement was starting to take place in this country, the conservative movement, and Ronald Reagan was came at the right time for people who, for whatever reason, had enough of what they felt were, you know, government giveaways. You know, welfare was talked about a lot, and people pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. And somehow that conversation really dwarfed, I think, common sense. The government was being used to help lazy people who didn't want to work, and people who became frustrated with that thought that government was fostering that and being a major part of it. But Jim,
I remember I was in law school at that time, so we had these discussions. And I think Earl, as you're saying very articulately, and Tom, your point as well, there was pushback on it. It was drowned out by this very strong view that government is the problem. I will get government out of your life, is what Ronald Reagan said. Remember also, when was this happening? He defeated, I think, one of the great presidents who is still alive. His name is Jimmy Carter,
no question.
Who should have had a second term.
One of the best
human being, right. Probably in the White House. And Jimmy Carter was one of those fellows who said, you know what, I do care about human beings. I'm going to make a government work. A Naval Academy graduate, a guy who understood as governor of the state of Georgia, understood the things that government could do and was doing that kind of thing. And Ronald Reagan came upon the scene and said, no, he's wrong. And we're going to seize on this opportunity to convince the American people that government is the problem. And regrettably, Tom, at the time, a majority of people... Ronald Reagan fairly decisively won the Electoral College, won the popular vote, and as you just said, set us off in 40 years of going down that road. We are long overdue. Not only pushing back at that time, there were those voices who said, no, government does good things, but we are still living in the wake of that. Far, far beyond time now to say, you know what, that was mistaken. Whether it's Reaganomics, all these other things that go beyond economics, time to come back and say government has a role to play as we're talking this morning. It can be very beneficial. It helps people. I believe that strongly. Earl believes that strongly. And again, representative government, not government out of control, but government that is responsive to us. It affects every single part of our lives to the good. I remember, too, again, going back to my own history, I was in high school when I read a thing called The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, this a novel about the Chicago meatpacking industry. It was fiction.
I remember this.
And it had an impact because people said, oh, my goodness, this is really going on. Some of it may have been dramatized. Slaughterhouses, right? And they came back and said, we got to make certain the kinds of things Earl talked about in the first segments here, kind of make certain those are remedied. When people bring those things to the attention of government, it does happen. It does get remedied. Again, I'll use the word a fifth time this morning, imperfectly, maybe not right away, but that's the role that government plays in those areas. And again, cannot overemphasize the civil rights, the importance of the Voting Rights Act, the Fair Housing Act, all these kinds of things, and employment and access to academics and to economics as well. All those things, a product of the 1960s legislation, Brown versus Board of Education, other things, Brown too, that ensures that we've got schools where the person who's sitting to my left and my right may not look exactly like I do, and that notion that is a good thing, that comes from government, in this case the courts, interpreting our Constitution in the way that it has.
Tom, quickly.
And Jim, do you think that because of even during Reagan's time, that's when really with Buckley versus Vallejo and First National Bank versus Bilotti, that the money in politics started rearing its head, and that's basically what is destroyed through Citizens United, that money in politics is what's really destroyed We the People government?
A lot of those cases, again, giving that authority to people outside government and therefore permitting things like money to enter into our political scheme in the way that it has. Absolutely.
Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Earl.
Hang on the lines. We'll be coming to you after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Jim Santillo. He is my colleague here at Civic Media Radio. We'll be right back.
Women here.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back,
mad. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind to Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. High of 34 this afternoon under cloudy skies with a chance of snow. North winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 24 tonight, chance for snow showers. 28 tomorrow, cloudy. About an inch of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Push our button and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santil. He's a former U.S. attorney for the state of Wisconsin, appointed by then-President Barack Obama. He's in his own law practice now, but I certainly consider him a friend, and he is a colleague here at Civic Radio. Let's go to CJ from Stoughton. CJ?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl and James. James won't take my call anymore. But
we've always taken your phone calls. Well, CJ, I've said to you why.
I've called you many times on Saturday.
Listen, man, I've said to you.
You refuse to.
I understand why, man. You changed the subject. But let's see if you'll stay on.
Well, okay. Here's the subject. James conveniently forgot to mention one of the reasons why Ronald Reagan got elected and said government is the problem are very similar to the same conditions of the now worst president ever. What's the inflation rate? At a 40-year high again because of the same policies this president used as Jimmy Carter that has driven up inflation.
What were those policies?
Killed our economy.
What were those policies?
Look at the interest rates. The only way to get inflation down by incredible spending and a record spending.
Let me say this to you, CJ. What created the interest rate issue in Jimmy Carter's time? Do you know?
The same thing.
No, what's the
same
thing?
The same thing. Inflation.
Do you remember?
When I bought my first
Do you remember the oil embargo?
You asked me a question. Jimmy Carter was president. Interest rates. You know what it was when I bought my first house? 18.5%.
You know I was around.
We're headed
then.
That way.
You know I was around.
Yeah,
then. Absolutely. Okay. I know. That's why.
Yeah, I know you were.
That's why I asked you what created that interest rate, right?
Out of control spending.
No. It was the oil embargo.
Out of control spending that Larry Summers, a Democrat, promised that was going to happen. Drive up inflation.
So this is kind of why.
And I'm mad at the Republicans too, Earl.
This is kind of why people
don't have a mind because you keep saying the same exact things.
Okay. Because, again, you are blaming Jimmy Carter not understanding the oil embargo and what took place at that point in time. You've totally dismissed that or you're just not aware of it.
Thank you
very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Macklin. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man? You say what? Dave?
Jimmy Carter, what CJ failed
to mention with Jimmy Carter is this. Richard Nixon, along with Gerald Ford, Nixon is the one who put in price controls specifically for gasoline. And consequently, Ford made it worse. He actually said that he was going to beat it, and he actually made it worse. And Jimmy Carter kept it in place right up to the very end, up until 1980. By that time, it was too late for Jimmy Carter, and he recognized that, maybe we should not, have price controls in place anymore. And then Ronald Reagan, the first month in office, he finished that off. So that is where the government did fail the American people by trying to put price controls. And Jimmy Carter did not learn from his two predecessors before him that did not work. And it actually made things much worse, and it compounded itself. And that was the result of what you saw back in the 1970s.
Right. And Dave, this is Jim again, just to reaffirm the importance mm-hmm. of what you're saying, which is how important it is to know about history, right? As yes. Earl, with the previous caller, was demonstrating, the importance of understanding, and again, history is a complicated thing, right? You can't look back and say, yes. I think Earl's exactly right about the oil issue, but a very complicated situation coming out of the 1970s, the 1980s, all mm-hmm. sorts of factors mm-hmm. happening. But to be accurate about the past also defines the present, and being able to learn from that. Again, that's also a part of good Correct. Government, right? And I think that's your point as well, Dave. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And so, like I said, she had three presidents in a row that kept that in place, and it just got exponentially worse. And like I said, that's why Ford lost. I mean, Ford lost because he was going to stamp out inflation, and he was going to bring gas prices lower, and he just kept in place what Nixon kept in place.
So, Dave, before we get yep. too far away from what we were talking about, I only brought yep. that up because CJ, again, was trying to take us somewhere else. Your thoughts mm-hmm. about government and why it's important.
Well,
your business.
It's important in the... it's important for the simple reason that, yes, there's a lot of different entities, be it local, state, or federal. I don't think they work in conjunction as well as they should. I think that there should be better communication between the three, because obviously local and state and federal obviously have different roles. And sometimes I do think the frustration is this. And you look at the rural communities, and you talked about the other day, opportunities in the city of Milwaukee. Well, the rural communities are in the same boat. The rural communities are having issues, and a lot of time the federal government allocates a lot of the money, let's be honest, towards the urban, larger areas. Very little goes to the smaller communities, smaller towns that you see around the country. And there's a reason why it's called flyover country for a reason. So you literally have all this federal money that's being reallocated towards the coast, the East Coast and the West Coast. The Midwest gets very little in return in comparison to what the population centers on the East and West Coast.
Could it be that that's where the majority of the people are, and that's why the resources are what they are? Because that's where the majority of the population is?
Well, you look at, Texas is the second largest state population-wise after California. Florida, obviously, is third largest now, I believe. And so you do have this, but you have this idea that, the Midwest, for whatever reason, yes, there aren't as many people, but it's not as dramatic as people think it is. There's a lot of people that are spread out throughout the U.S., obviously.
So listen, we've got to go to a break. All you guys on the phone lines, hang on. My guest is Jim Santillo, and he's agreed to hang around a little while longer, and I'm glad he has.
Delighted to be with you, Earl.
Yeah, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.